Well, good morning. Welcome to worship on this fall day. Hopefully things have been good for you this morning, and maybe you didn't have to scrape any frost off your window, because when I got in my car, it was already melted off by the time I got up, so that was good. Just a couple of announcements this morning to get us started. You'll see that tomorrow morning's Bible study is going to be in Judges 15. We would love to have more people show up for Bible study Monday. So if you're not busy Monday morning at 10 o'clock, we just go 10 to 11:30. We have a pretty good time, and we'll even offer you some coffee if you want some. So show up for that. And we want to send out a big thank you for everyone that made our Friday night game night, hot dog roast fall festival, just a really good time. We had about 30 people there, estimated about 30 people, and it was just lots of laughing and playing games and had some good time and some good food. So expect to have some more movie days maybe. We're going to try to do that maybe on a Saturday afternoon, have a matinee. Bonnie Rem has offered her movie room, which is down in her basement, to come over and watch some movies. So expect to have some more fellowship time over the winter. And who knows, maybe we'll have another game night too. We'll have to get that on our calendar. Now, on a more serious note, the members at large are preparing to put forth a roster of officers for next year to vote on in January. So now's your opportunity to pray and ask the Lord, seek the Lord, find out where He would have you minister in His church. The Lord has a place for every part of the body in His church. We'd like to know where your place is. So if you're interested in a specific role, just let the members at large know. Otherwise, expect a phone call from them to find out where they can put you. And November 13th is the last day to drop off your Christmas shoeboxes. I mentioned that. I know it's not November yet, but it's not that far away, just 4 weeks. So if you need a box or a label, let us know. We did run out of the tracking label. So if you want a label that you can't track, you don't care to track your box, we can get you those. We're ordering some more trackable labels, and hopefully they'll be here by the end of by next Sunday. So if you need something like that, please let me know. For our prayer list, Tom Shores, we're adding him to our list, a friend of Ed Klein's. He's going in this Friday for at least triple bypass. They didn't check the rest of the arteries. They're going to wait till they get in there. So he's going to have at least triple bypass this Friday. So be lifting up Tom. In praise, Jack Cornwell's surgery went well and he's home. Another huge praise, if you haven't heard, Marlene is scheduled for her knee replacement the day after Thanksgiving. So November 28th, I think that is. And that's a huge praise. And so just be praising the Lord this week and pray that that wound on her leg would continue to heal as that surgery approaches. There's lots of other stuff going on here. Mary's parents, Al, has his gallbladder removed Thursday, and Jane is having an MRI Friday to try to see what's going on with her. And Mary's going to be traveling up there on Wednesday, so be praying for that whole situation. And she also has Mary has a couple of nieces that are both in the hospital, hoping to get released at the end of the week. So be praying for healing there. Gloria Dean, just down the street here, had an episode. Not sure what it was. It could have been related to her diabetes, but they're not sure. They took her to the emergency room and couldn't find anything, so she's home now. Again, let's pray. We've been praying, right, for many people that hidden things would be revealed and the Lord has answered. So let's pray that for Gloria as well. Bob will be going in for some chemo and radiation. He's got a few tumors on his liver, and he's hoping to take care of those through chemo and radiation like they did before. And he said he just laughed and said his hand's feeling well, healing well, and feeling good too, he said this morning. So continue to pray for Bob. And Ruby's family lost two members in the older generation, an aunt and a cousin this past week. So be praying for Ruby's extended family as they begin the process of grieving. Is there anything else that didn't make the prayer list or announcements? Okay, so start saving your grocery bags, your plastic bags for the backpack buddies. And, we've got a just about 6 weeks to save up those bags. We're going to be packing those on the 12th of December. So 6 or 7 weeks to get those bags. We probably need another 300-400 probably.
We need 312 this time, so I think I have 250.
Yeah, okay. So we need like 75 more. Well, we need 75 times two, right? So, because we're going to be doubling them. Right.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
Right. So we probably need at least 150 more bags, all right? So save your bags and bring them to church. Any update?
Yeah, he's supposed to be home from the hospital now.
Okay. Well, that's good news. All right, you see that I have an insert in your...
can I before you...
Sure. Go ahead.
Would you join me?
Sure.
Be appreciated. As you know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and typically our congregation, rather than announcing it in the Hampshire Review and paying for an ad, typically feels like the best way that we can show our appreciation to you and to your family for all you do is to present you with a little token of our appreciation. And I want you to know that on behalf of the congregation, we are truly appreciative of everything you do, both at the church, at the Sunday school level, for us as individuals, as the congregation as a whole. You guys go above and beyond, and we certainly do appreciate it, and I'm sure we don't tell you often enough how much we appreciate it, but... on behalf of the congregation, I would like to present you with this little token of our appreciation from the Sunday school and also the church, and tell you how much we love you guys and appreciate
thank you very
everything
much.
You do.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. And I will say, probably not a week goes by where someone doesn't come up and say how much they appreciate me. So I do appreciate that, and you know, it is a great sign of how the Lord is knitting us together as a body, right? It's not, you know, not everyone has to tell me every week how great I am, but it's nice when someone does. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Now, you'll notice that there's an insert here about praying for Iran. There's some stuff going on over there. Maybe you've watched the news. We'll get to that when we get to our pastoral prayer, and we'll talk about that for a minute. But for now, you know, let's come into the presence of the Lord together. Let's rise and hear Him call us. The Lord loves it when we come into His presence to worship His holy name. Hear the Lord's call to us this morning. As He says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Let's pray. Lord, it is good to be Your people, to be Your sheep. It's good to know that You are our shepherd, our leader, our caretaker. And so, Lord, as we come into Your presence to lift Your name up and to praise You, accept our worship through the blood of Christ, we ask this in His name alone. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 219 as we respond to the call to worship, singing about the blood of Jesus. 219.
Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you.
You want to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. If you're grabbing the pew Bible in front of you under the pew, it's page 1034, Luke 11, beginning at verse 29. You'll notice the title, at least in our pew Bible, is The Sign of Jonah. And you know, we're preaching through Jonah, and here we see Jesus talking about the importance of that sign and what it's meant. So I'm going to ask Tom Jenkins to come and to read our New Testament scripture this morning. Tom.
Good morning. Luke 11, chapter 11, 29 through 32. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here."
Thank you, Tom. Now we're going to see the repentance of Nineveh in chapter 3 when we get to the sermon. But here we see Jesus using that as an example that when the word of the Lord comes, you know, when condemnation and judgment is proclaimed, our response should be one of repentance. We're going to find later on that when we repent, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and relent from disaster. Well, I did mention that we have this insert on a day of prayer for Iran. Maybe you've been watching the news and seeing at least occasionally, that there's riots taking place in Iran right now, all over the death of what many are considering an innocent. A young lady was killed in the hands of police over the breaking of some law in their estimation. It's very interesting now, you know, back in 1979, someone writes this, the Islamic Revolution began with cries of death to the Shah. But this revolt is starting with cries for women and life and freedom. If you sow death, this writer says, then you reap death. But when you sow life, you get life. There was, in the past, they used to only hope for freedom and revival in Iran, but now he has faith for it. He believes the Lord is actually bringing it about. Now, if you've been keeping track in our bulletin, we often have stories of praises coming out of Iran and even their neighbor, Iraq, of the Lord moving. And so today we're going to join many across the nation and across the world as we pray for Iran. I would encourage you to take this home and maybe this week sometime just sit down each day and maybe pray one of these numbers through the week for Iran. You'll see they're just following the Lord's Prayer. But let's lift up this country. It's a country that has been, living in darkness for a while now. And even the Christian church there is starting to see some glimmers of light. And so let's pray that that would be true and that the Lord would bless. Let's pray together. Lord, we do center ourselves on you and who you are this morning. You're not just the God of the American church, but you are the God of the church that is made up of many tongues and many nations. And Lord, we know that the church is alive and well, even in Iran. And now, Lord, they're seeing the power of your Spirit at work in their country, putting off the darkness and putting on the light. And so we pray, Lord, that your power and your might and your goodness would spread in that country in a way that brings true revival, true repentance, true obedience to your word. We would ask that your kingdom would come there, Lord, and make a home. Take the church that's already established there underground and give them the boldness to spread the gospel in a powerful way. Help them to share the good news of your kingdom, Lord, that's grounded not in works or in the law, but in grace. We pray, Lord, that that would be a powerful message to young and old, rich and poor, those in the government and those that work in the country. Lord, give them the bread of your word and the goodness of your gospel, that they would know Jesus and come to a saving knowledge of him as Savior. Lord, again, we ask for boldness for the church there, for favor among the people, that there would be many that would long to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray against those that would seek to keep Iranians in the dark. Lord, we know that when the church rises up, the enemy is unhappy. Your promise is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the onslaught of your gospel. And so we pray that your gospel would go out with power and with clarity and with forgiveness on the lips of those that are proclaiming the truth. Lord, we would ask that the leaders that have kept the nation in darkness would be converted first, that they would be the ones that would turn and repent. And just the sign of that, Lord, would send a great revival across that nation. Push back the darkness with the light of Jesus. Lord, there will be those, even probably in the church, that are tempted to repay evil with evil. And so we would ask, Lord, that that would not be so, but that forgiveness would be on the heart of every Christian believer in that nation, ready to accept those that had even been persecuting them the day before. Lord, we know it's possible because we've seen you do that with the Apostle Paul and the apostles. And so we would ask for that here, that you would move in the hearts of the people to accept everyone that would repent and call on Christ as Savior. Lord, show forth your glory. Bring about your goodness. Bring this nation to a true knowledge of who you are. We ask this in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. And now let's join our hearts together reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, you can remain seated, but take your hymnal and turn to number 180. You know, it's often hard for us, I think, to understand the fullness of the mercy of God. And so here we're going to sing about just how deep the mercy of God is to work on our behalf. Number 180. That is a great song for today's sermon. So mark that down, and after the sermon, read those words again and see their true meaning there as we think about this idea of God turning a sinner into a saint, one that has rejected him so many times. Well, we're coming to our time of offering. I've been trying to give us some little encouragements about offering. And Hebrews 13:16 says this. It says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Right? The author of Hebrews here is saying, you know, we all know it's good to do good, right? It says, do not neglect to do good. Do not neglect to pray. We might take that further and say, do not neglect to study the Bible. Do not neglect to volunteer at church or in the community. But it says something else. It says, do not neglect to share what you have. For such things are pleasing to the Lord. You want to see the Lord smile this morning. Your opportunity is now to give just a portion of what He's given to you back to Him with grateful praise. So, men, I'd ask the ushers to come and accept our morning offering. Let's stand together singing the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, again, we're so grateful for all that you've given us. You've been Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And so accept this little piece back from us. We give it to you cheerfully and joyfully and freely for you to use for your church and for your glory, both here and afar. Lord, we want to see your glory. We want to see it move people to be brought into your kingdom. And so use it for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Hopefully you're finding it easier and easier to find Jonah. We are in Jonah chapter 3, so we're on page 921 of the Pew Bible. If you're grabbing your own Bible, turn towards the end of the Old Testament. So if you find the Gospels, go just back a little bit to the left, not far. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. So Jonah chapter 3. Now, if you're a golfer, and I know some of you are, then you probably know the term mulligan. The term is mulligan is a term golfers use when they hit a bad shot and they want to try again without a stroke penalty, right? They want to take a mulligan. That's how they use it. If you're a student, then maybe you have the same sort of concept when you get your test back and you didn't get the grade that you wanted, right? You might ask your teacher, can I retake that test, or at least maybe answer the questions that I didn't answer before. My daughter's a teacher. She allows them to correct the problems they got wrong. They get one second chance. Of course, life itself often causes us to want second chances, right? We might call them a do-over. Yeah? And the most common things that we want to do over are harsh words that you wish you could replace with kinder words, bad decisions you wish you could make differently now that you're older and wiser. You know, we often want this second chance. And in this passage this morning, on the one hand, is talking about second chances. That's not the title of the sermon, though, you'll see. Because these second chances come, they do come. Both sides get second chances, but they only come through obedience and repentance. Right? Jonah's going to get a second chance because now he's obedient to the call that God puts on his life. Nineveh is going to get a second chance through repentance at the hearing of God's call to repent. It's a great reminder that God, from the very beginning, has promised a second chance, another chance. Even from the fall, God promised to send us a Savior. And that second chance surely came, right? When time was full and He sent us Jesus. Because God is always faithful to His promise. Back then, back at the birth of Christ, and even today. Now we've been learning that God is a God who pursues His people. Today we're actually going to see that He calls every sinner to repent. Right? Not just Israel, but every sinner to repent. Because God is a God who pursues people. Right? He pursues people, and because of that, you, me, those around us must be open to His call to obedience. Right? He's calling us to be obedient. We have to be open to that. And we have to be ready to repent because we know ourselves. We know that we're sinners. So let's pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes to this passage. Lord, we do turn to Jonah 3, you know, looking at the goodness of obedience and the power of repentance and Your faithfulness to offer those that would come to You a second chance, a do-over in some ways, Lord, in life. Lord, we know that that's what Jesus is for us, a chance for us to be made right again with You. So show us Jesus here in this passage. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to start by saying, you know, God is a God who pursues people, so we have to be open to His call to obedience. We're going to see here that Jonah now gets a second chance to be obedient, and he actually is. Let's read our passage, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. So Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. And let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It was almost exactly the same as the first time, right? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. What's not exactly the same or even close to the same is Jonah's reaction. The first time we're told he arose to flee from the presence of the Lord. This time he rose and went to Nineveh. Jonah gets a second chance to be obedient to that call that the Lord has put on him. Now just think about that for a second and think about who Jonah is here. He is the disobedient prophet, the man who ran from God, the man who said to the sailors, "I would rather die than go and do what the Lord said." And yet, God gives him a second chance. I hope you see that as very encouraging in this story this morning, that the God we serve is a God who gives us second chances. It's really good news, because it would be easy, and in fact many religions think this way, that when Jonah refuses the Lord, that's the end for him, right? There's no chance of repentance or turning or second chance, right? You have to do what is right, always, all the time. Failure is never acceptable. But you can only come to that conclusion if you misunderstand what the Bible tells about the law and the gospel. Now, in the Old Testament, which is where we are right now in the book of Jonah, some think that it's only about the law, that there is no grace here. And therefore, to be saved, you have to do what is right to save yourself. Then, when they turn to the New Testament, they might say, okay, now we can see grace at work in the New Testament. Right? But the account of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is really a story of grace and mercy. In both the Old and the New, compassion and forgiveness. The law is actually given to cause the people to see their need for grace. Not to save them, but to show that they can't save themselves. They need the Savior that God had promised in Genesis chapter 3. Especially as they find out they can't do those things on their own. Right? When we find out we can't do those things on our own, our only hope is in a Savior. In the Old and the New Testament, God doesn't give his people what they deserve. He never gets them what they deserve. Come to Monday morning Bible study. I heard someone say the other day, we've gotten all the way through Judges, and what have we found out? God never gives them what they deserve. He always changes their hearts and draws them back to himself, giving them chance after chance after chance to serve him. Have you ever wanted a second chance? A second chance at anything? Ever needed a second chance to do something? Maybe you need a second chance right now, this morning. If any of those are true for you, then the God of the Bible is the God for you, right? He's good news for you because he does offer us chances when we fail him. We actually have a number of examples in the Bible of God showing grace to those that didn't really meet up to his standard and even maybe deserve judgment for their actions. You know, we don't often think of this particular example I'm going to give you as one that might require judgment instead of grace, but think about Abraham. Now, Abraham did some other bad things, but here Abraham is called to leave Ur, right, and to go to a land where God said, I will show you. And so Abraham actually gets up, and he leaves Ur, and he goes, starts walking. He travels all the way to Haran, where he stopped. By the way, Haran is hundreds of miles from the Promised Land. Right? Hundreds of miles from the Promised Land. God actually has to come to Abraham again and say, Abram, get up and go to a land that I will show you. Only then, after this second time, does Abram go. Are you hearing God's call this morning? Maybe you're hearing it for a second time to do something specific or to go a certain way, asking you to follow him, asking you to go where he is leading. Maybe you're hearing the Lord's call and you're not ready to be obedient. I would encourage you this morning, through the story of Jonah, now is your chance to be obedient, to hear that call of the Lord and to arise and go where he is calling. Do what he is asking. Respond to him in the way that he wants you to. Be ready to take hold of that second chance that the Lord would offer you. That's what he wants, right? He wants you to respond to him by walking with him in this life. He wants to walk with you through this life. That's the idea here. Right? He's calling you to have a relationship with him and walk in obedience to his call. Now, I want to remind us again this morning, this account of the life of Jonah, we're mostly like Jonah here, right? That's who we are in this story. We're Jonah, the ones that run away and tell God, I don't want to do what you say. We're the ones who fail to be obedient. But if you're like Jonah in this book, then remember that God is ready to pursue you, even pursuing you right now, right? Ready to draw you back to himself, to cause you to be obedient. I encourage you this morning, I exhort you this morning to be open to God's call to obedience. Whatever it is in your life, God is the God who pursues people. We have to be open to his call to obedience, which means we also have to be ready to repent. I mean, these really are, in some sense, different sides of the same coin, right? We have Jonah on one side that needs to be obedient, which is only going to happen if he repents from his wicked ways, right? Running from the Lord. But there's also those out there that need to repent. They will never be obedient unless they repent first, like Nineveh. Well, the first time God said, call out against Nineveh, for their evil has come up against me. For their evil has come up before me. Here in chapter 3, though, he says, call out against it the message I tell you. That's what he says to Jonah this time. Call out against Nineveh the message that I tell you. And what is the message that God gives Jonah? The one he proclaims there, right? Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Overthrown. That's just a synonym for destroyed, brought low. Someone's going to attack you. You are going to cease to exist. You are in big trouble. Now, we're not given any information about what Jonah said when they asked him, why is Jonah, or why will we be overthrown? But remember, in chapter 1, Jonah was told that it was because of their evil. And we're also going to see in a minute, you know, that the king says, put away your evil ways, right? Now, their reaction to Jonah's message, you should see this, it was immediate repentance. Right? It says, well, notice it doesn't say, that the people believed Jonah. It says the people believed God, and they put on sackcloth, a sign of repentance. Even the king gets involved, right? He too puts on sackcloth. He goes farther, though, sits in ashes as a sign of repentance, sending out a proclamation that all should put on sackcloth, even the animals in the nation, proclaiming that they shouldn't eat or drink anything too, just like the others that were fasting. Now, if you know anything about animals, especially cows and sheep and goats, what happens when you take away food and water from them? They get noisy. They will let their owners know, hey, there's no water here. There's no grass left. It's time to move me. They will be noisy. This noise would have been a great reminder to the whole nation of why they were fasting, why they were praying. It would have acted as a reminder that they too should cry out like the animals to God and ask Him to relent, hoping, praying, begging Him to turn away from His wrath. Now listen, when you're finally convinced that you've sinned against God, how do you react? And I'm sure that many of us have had that feeling. You're fully convinced that you've sinned against a holy God. How do you react? Do you fast and pray? Do you go to Him in repentance? Do you seek His forgiveness? Are you willing, like these beasts, to cry out to Him, asking Him for grace and mercy to relent from His wrath? Here's an even more important question, though, I think. What reaction, when you go to Him, what reaction do you expect Him to have? What reaction do you expect Him to have? You know, we have a number of examples here of people seeking repentance in the Bible. You know, David is a really great example. It's a great example of what we should expect from God. Here's David. He's called a man of God's own heart. He takes another man's wife, right? Bathsheba. He sleeps with her and gets her pregnant. Right? He has her husband Uriah killed so Uriah won't know. Right? Both of these offenses, adultery and murder, deserve the death penalty in Israel. Right? David deserved to be stoned for either of those, let alone both of those sins. And yet David repents, and what does he find? He finds mercy and forgiveness and grace from the Lord. In the New Testament, Peter denies the Lord three times on the night when Jesus is betrayed, right in front of him. Remember, Jesus in the end looks up as the rooster crows the third time. He looks up and looks at Peter. And yet, after the resurrection, Peter doesn't get condemnation. He doesn't get ostracized from the apostles. No, he gets his call to the ministry again. Feed my sheep. Peter, who goes out and weeps over his sin, finds grace and mercy and forgiveness from the Lord. He gets this second chance, and that's what happens here with Nineveh. Jonah preaches repentance. Jonah preaches judgment. Nineveh repents, and God relents of the disaster He said He would do to them. Our God, right, the God of the Bible, the God who offers second chances. Well, let's be honest, third chances and fourth chances and 100th chances, right? One commentator I read this morning said, God gives us thousands of chances. Every time we fail to be obedient, when we repent, He forgives us, restores us, and sends us back into ministry. And sends us back into ministry. Now, there's going to be some that are still wondering how God can promise judgment on Nineveh and then relent. That came up in the commentaries too. How does God say this is going to happen and then it doesn't happen? And again, reading the commentaries on Jonah was helpful here because someone pointed out that Martin Luther says that the Nineveh that God threatened didn't exist anymore. The Nineveh that God threatened after they repented, the Nineveh that he threatened didn't exist anymore. The Nineveh that he threatened was atheistic, worldly, prideful, self-reliant, sinful. That Nineveh was gone after they repented. Now Nineveh, it says, believed God. They were humbled by God. They were penitent in sackcloth, totally dependent on God's mercy and calling on him to relent. God doesn't change his mind here, right? He is merciful and gracious, always, even in his judgment, willing to relent, if you will repent. Well, how might God change you by just that idea this week, let alone the whole story, right? Now, I don't know everything that's going on in your life, but I know when you sin, God wants you to repent. That should be obvious. He wants you to repent and be obedient to his call, and he's willing to pursue you until you do. He's willing to pursue you until you repent. And when you repent, he will accept you. Do you expect him to do that? Do you expect him to be a God to you like he was a God to David? A God to you like he was a God to Abraham? Accepting you, forgiving you, drawing you to himself, and using you further in the ministry. Well, listen, this is what I want you to think about this week. Whether it's a mulligan on the golf course or a retake of a test at school, or whether it's just something in life that you think, I really wish I could do that again. Know this, it's clear that we make mistakes. It's clear that we sin against a holy God, each of us, every day. But he doesn't let us wallow in our sin. He pursues us. He doesn't allow us to just remain in our sin. He pursues us. That's why he sent us Jesus, right? To pursue us, to give us this second chance. He continually calls us to repent and turn to him. Are you a sinner? I am. Everyone should answer that question. Yes, I am. Do you need revival? Everyone should answer that question. Yes, I do. We are in constant need of revival. Some commentators call this revival in Nineveh the greatest revival ever because the whole nation repents. Well, here's four things for personal revival that we can grab out of chapter 3. You need to put yourself under the faithful preaching of God's word. Now, the preaching can come from the Word of God, in corporate worship, where you're here personally. Maybe you watch some preaching on TV or you listen to a podcast. Of course, my encouragement is to be in church personally. There is a power to personal, corporate worship together where the Word is preached. But there's no other place to look for forgiveness than the Word of God. Revival comes through faithful preaching. Know that's true. Number two, you need to believe what God says. When you hear God's preaching, notice the Ninevites didn't believe in Jonah, right? No, it says they believed God. When you read God's word, when you read about judgment, when you read about grace, you must believe what he says. He says, I am love. Revival comes through belief. You must act on what you believe. It's not true belief without some resulting action. Read Hebrews 11 this afternoon. All of those faithful witnesses, all of those servants of the Lord, they acted on their belief in God. And so should we. Right? So should I, so should you. Revival comes through action. God doesn't want us to have just a mind knowledge of Him. He wants us to have a heart knowledge of Him. He wants that knowledge to be active in the world. Finally, there must be a turning from sin. Look at verse 8. Jonah 3 verse 8 says, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand." Nineveh turned from their violence, from their particular sin, and so should we, so should you, so should I. Jesus makes it possible for us to turn from our sin because we can turn to Him. Right? That's what repentance, true repentance is. It's turning from something and to something. Not just one, but both. You can't turn to Jesus and stay with your sin. And you can't turn from your sin and not turn to Jesus. True repentance turns from your sin and turns to a living Savior. Revival comes through repentance. And there is joy there when you repent. There is joy to be found there when you're obedient. And that's God's call to you in Christ this morning. That's God's call to Jonah. Be obedient and preach repentance. That's His call to Nineveh. Repent and find the joy of the Lord. That's His call to us this morning. Repent and believe and be saved from God's wrath. How? Through the blood of Jesus, right? Who teaches us, who draws us, who commands us, who longs for us to be obedient and to repent. Let's pray. Lord, none of this would be possible without the sacrifice of Christ. And so we praise You, Lord. We praise You for that willingness to send Him to us, that desire for us to turn, that pursuit of us to cause us to be obedient, to repent, and to come to Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, as we go out from this place, that we would be a people who would also proclaim repentance from coming judgment, so that You too can relent on the lives of many and bring them into the kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we close and grab your hymnal and turn to hymn number 356 as we talk about being resolved to be servants of a holy God. Number 356. Let's stand together. Hasten to the Lord. He's there waiting for you to help you minister, to accept you when you repent, and to teach you the joy of obedience. Hear his benediction as we go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.